We're in Sefer Chovos HaLevavot, we're in Shavuot Elokim, we're in Perek Ches. We were in the middle of a discussion yesterday about free will versus determinism. And now the Seichel, who's discussing this topic with the Nefesh, goes into a little monologue. Hayu ke'ele shamru ki kol pu'ulat b'nei adam yotzot lepo'al kefi sh'adam chafet rasatam v'tem le'yicholto v'kocho וכי האלוקים מסר לידו את הבחירה ואת השליטה עליהם, ואין אלוקים מכריח אותו לעשותן, ולכן גם מגיע לו עבורן שכר ועונש. There were some people who took one side of the argument and they said, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, but Hashem gave you free will. That free will means He totally steps out. He gives you power and ability, and you totally are able to control your actions, you get to decide what to do, and that makes sense why then there would be reward and why there would be punishment. And that opinion leans towards the side that you have to take full responsibility for yourself. You have to recognize your actions make a difference. But there were others who would say, everything that happens, you have to attribute to Hashem. Everything that takes place in the world, whether you're talking about people, whether you're talking about stones, everything is in the hands of Hashem. Nothing, no hair could grow differently in length or in color if it's not for the direct will of Hashem. And when you ask that side of people, we get all into the Hashem as the term that everything is going to go. When you ask them, if everything is determined entirely, then what's the whole system of reward and punishment? Anyway, Hashem has determined exactly what's going to be and how it's going to go out of a man's control. והם ענו כשם שאין בכוחנו להבין גם כן אין בכוחנו להבין את זה. We don't understand, but Hashem determines everything. Someone harms you, it was Hashem's will that He harmed you. If you are not able to do something, it's out of your control. It's Hashem's will that it's out of your control. It's not about you. So why do you do anything? Because I'm commanded. Everything is commanded. So I do what I do because Hashem commanded me. I don't feel that I'm choosing. I feel that Hashem has given the instructions and I'm following the instructions. That's one other extreme opinion. אנחנו סומכים על אלוקים שהוא דן בצדק ואין עושה עוול ונאמנו שיקיים מה שהבטיח ושהוא לא יעבור להבטחתו. We believe, אנחנו מאמינים כי דעתנו מדי חלשה להסיק. We believe that we're not able to understand Hashem's ways. Hashem has determined how the world is going to go and He knows what He's doing and I trust in Him. I'm not scared. I know He's doing what He needs to do with wisdom. צדקתו היא כל כך גלויה עד כי אין מקום לייחס חשד. So that's one extreme opinion. Hashem is not involved at all. He gives you full reign. You can do whatever you want. That side of things makes it clearer how you get reward and punishment. There's another side which is Hashem is all-powerful. He's not abandoned the world in any way. Even by giving you free will, He didn't abandon the world in any way. He determines everything and you just have to be obedient. And that's always going to be our end goal. The middle path. Like we've discussed many, many times. The middle path does not mean that you're in between, in the sense of you're not all the way on that side, you're not all the way on that side, you're somewhere in the middle, kind of a pshara, kind of a mediocre. That's not what the middle path means. The middle path means you know the occasions that you need to draw on the one side and you're able to draw on it. You know the occasions you need to draw on the other side and you draw on it. You're fully in control of the entire spectrum. That's what it means to be in the middle. It means that you're controlling both sides. You understand the full spectrum. And there's no one right way. There's different scenarios, different situations, and you have to know which is right for each way. And this point is crucial, this point. I want to elaborate on it a little bit in my own words. Because let's say you have a project you need to work on and it's very important. To do with your learning, to do with your shalom bayis, to do with your job, whatever it is, you have some project. So whichever of these two extremes you take, you're going to lose. Because if you take the extreme of it's all about me, it's all about my effort, Hashem has handed over the reign of free will to me, then they'll be empowering. You'll feel it's up to me, you'll work. But then whatever happens at the end, my shalom is going to lose. Because if you're successful, then you'll be arrogant, because I did it. It was all up to me, right? Hashem gave me the reins of free will. So I was on a burn effort and I succeeded, it's all about me. So if you succeed, you've lost. And if you lose, you lose as well, because then you're saying, oh, like, What happened? Hashem, I put in X effort. You said to me it's all about my effort, and I put in effort. Why didn't it work out? Doesn't make sense. Hashem, you don't believe in me. You don't trust me. You said you gave me free will. You said, so you lose either way. And if you just take this, so in other words, to say that phrase again, that way to an extreme is very good for the getting you to be motivated, because you understand it's all about you. So it's very good for the pre-stage, getting you into it, getting you motivated, getting you to work, but it's very bad for the post-stage. Because once you finish and you look back, either way it's not healthy. Now the other one is the opposite. If you're about determination, if you're about everything is controlled by Hashem, and what I do doesn't make a difference, then it's very demotivating from the beginning. When you haven't done that yet, like, why should I even bother? Anyway, it's determined by Hashem. Whatever Hashem wants, anyway, it's going to happen. So why am I putting an effort here? There's no point. So the idea of determination is very unhealthy for the pre-stage. But it's very healthy for the post-stage. Because if you put an effort, and you were successful, and you look back, you won't be arrogant. You'll say, oh, Hashem determined, that's how it's going to be. And if you fail, but you know you put an effort, and you fail, then you'll look back and you'll say, this is also what Hashem wanted. It's not that I messed up. I did my maximum effort. So what does it mean? Which side of the spectrum to be on? A wise person, a Jew, is someone who knows how to take each end of the spectrum and apply it where it's appropriate. And our goal is productivity. And our goal is having good middos. And that's truth. So when we have a spectrum, and we're asking where we should be in the spectrum, and we see that each end of the spectrum is going to make you lose something, and this is what you do. You say, how am I going to be the best Eved Hashem? One side of the spectrum won't, the other side of the spectrum won't, so in the middle won't do anything. In the middle, if you say, I'll half put an effort and half not, but if, and then after the half be arrogant and half not, that's not going to help anything, having a pshara somewhere in the middle. So what's the perfect way? The perfect way is, you use each koach where it's relevant. Meaning, that before you do the act, you go totally in the mindset of, it's all about me. Hashem has given me free will. Hashem trusts in me, and what I do is going to make a difference. There's no determination. There's no determinism. It's all about me. That's beforehand. And that's going to make you the most motivated. In other words, you hold on this end of the spectrum, and you're only on that end. It's all about my effort. And don't think for a moment whatever Hashem wants is going to happen. It's not relevant now. That's going to hold you back. You're not going to be productive if you think that. You have to be in the mindset that's going to make you most productive as an Eved Hashem. So you, within the spectrum, you go all the way to the one side. It's all about me. Great. Now, you've finished. You finished the stay there. You finished the project. You finished whatever it is you're working on. You finished. You now jump sides. You say, I have the whole spectrum in front of me. What's going to make me the best Eved Hashem? Determinism. You go all the way to the other side and you say, what happened there was Hashem's will. Now you win-win. You win-win. At the beginning, you're putting in maximum effort, maximum motivation, you're most productive. You say it's all about me, Hashem has given me free will. But afterwards, you will not be either arrogant or disappointed. If it was successful, you won't be arrogant because you'll say, Hashem determined it. Yes, Hashem determined it on condition that I put in my effort. If it wasn't for Hashem, it wouldn't have been successful. So it's determined by Hashem. And who even gave me the idea and the motivation to do it? Hashem gave that to me as well. So it's all Hashem. So after the fact that I look back and I was successful, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the opportunity you gave me to do such a thing. But not, it's because of me. If you say, yeah, but let's be realistic, it was because of me. So I'll say back to you, yes, be realistic. Who gave you the motivation? Who gave you the ability? Who gave you the willpower? That was Hashem as well. So let's be realistic. You got that koach from Hashem to begin with. So at the end, you look back and you say, it was Hashem's will. And if it fails, you're not disappointed. Because you say, Hashem, I did my part. I know I did my part. My role in this world was to put in my effort. And I did it. If you determine a different outcome, that's your will, Hashem. I'm not interfering with that. I'm not disappointed in any way. I put in effort because I believe this is what you want from me. I'll do it. I did it. You don't want it, that's fine. I still fulfill my obligation. What you wanted from me. So that's the idea of the spectrum. This model of the spectrum is very important, even beyond this topic. There are many topics, and I've discussed them a lot over the last few years, where you have two things that both seem true and contradict, and your question always has to be, where will I be an Eved Hashem? Where will I be functioning productively in my path towards the Eved Hashem? And then you take each side of the spectrum, and you look, well, this will help me in this area, and this will help this area, and therefore I'll do the most that I can to Eved Hashem. And that's the idea of being in the middle. When the Rambam speaks about being in the middle, he does not mean a pshara, he doesn't mean you're kind of mediocre, he means that you recognize the entire spectrum, and you know how to use each end of the spectrum in scenarios where it's relevant. So sometimes you're very stingy and sometimes you're very generous, but you know when to use each side of the spectrum. Sometimes you're very bedin and sometimes you're very bechesed, but you know how to use each one. You're not somewhere in the middle that you're not too strict and not too kind. That would be a foolish shara, that would be mediocre. Rather, you know when to use midat adin strongly and you're firm, like when we spoke about, for those who were there in the Sefer Shorim, right, when we spoke about the fact that you have to be kanai for Hashem, or you're fierce, you're fearful and you're forceful about doing the will of Hashem, and there it's midat adin, if it's going against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will stand up and speak firmly about this is the will of Hashem, midat adin. When you're speaking about someone who's going through a hard time, your children, echinuch, chesed, you'll use the middle chesed. You're not always in the middle. You know how to use each one where it's appropriate. You had a question?
When you're looking back at someone, how do you know if you put in an act for yourself to be able to say that it was Hashem?
You can't make up what you don't know, but you look at what you knew. You always have to say like this. This is a golden phrase. With the knowledge that I had at the time, did I do my most? And if it looks to you like you did your most, then yes. Sometimes later on you realize there was something else you could have done, but it didn't come to you at the time. Like it wasn't part of your thought system. And therefore it wasn't determined. Maybe Hashem made you stuck and leave that out, because his goal was not for this thing to be successful. He wanted you to put an effort not to be successful, so he made you somehow forget that. If you know that you slacked off, that's a different story. If you know that you didn't make phone, you could have done more, you didn't bother, you know that you couldn't recall a time where you had free will and you knew what the right thing was and you just didn't bother doing it. That's a different story. Then maybe you didn't put an effort. But if you look back and you say, with what I knew at the time, I did what I could do. Could I have done more? Maybe, but not in an obvious way. We're not being nitpicky here. We're not being OCD here. Like, with what I know, with what seems to be logical to me, I did the most I could do. That's what I had to do. That's a good effort. That's the goal. Whenever it's ahead of time, you put in maximum effort. I want to tell a nice story that happened. My oldest daughter, when she was 5 years old, there were two schools that we were debating between. And the one school I liked very much, and the one school I wasn't so keen on. The one school that I liked very much was a much smaller school, a newer school, and they seemed to like really care for the girls, and the goal of Yirat Shamayim was like a primary goal, and it seemed to me that would be like more of a sense of a home, and it would build Yirat Shamayim. That was the one school. The other school was a much more traditional, rigid school, and although externally Yirat Shamayim was very much spoken about, but it seemed to me to be somewhat, to me it seemed to become more external and more of a show and more of like a rules oriented school, which I didn't think would be as productive. I didn't think so. So the more rigid school she got into, which I wasn't happy with, and the school that I liked more, she didn't get into. So I phoned up, well, why did she get in? There was no reason why she couldn't get in. So why didn't she get in? And they said to me that the only reason she got in was there's no girls from Keren Biavne going there. She was, until her, because it was a new school, she was the only girl in her grade who applied there, because Kerem Yavne is a small place, and there aren't so many kids in the grade. And that means they're going to have to put a whole bus just for her. And they pay for the buses, and they weren't willing to do that. So they have other kids from other places, so they said no. So they didn't want to have the extra expense of the bus. So now, I'm thinking to myself, I want my girls to go to this school. Where is the limit of normal ishtadlus? How much effort should I put in? Where would it be inappropriate? How much should I do? Should I say I did my effort? I did everything I could. I applied. I phoned up to ask why. Or is there more that can do? That could do? So I asked Rav Neventhal. I happened to be for Shabbos in the Old City. If you're ever there, I don't know if he still does it, he's already older, but if you're ever in the Old City, Daven Vatikan at the Kotel, and Rav Neventhal invites people back to his house for Kiddush after Vatikan. And then he shares the Divrei Torah, and after the Divrei Torah that he shares, he says questions and answers. So I told him my dilemma, in front of about 40 other people, I told him my dilemma, and then I asked him his opinion. So he said to me, an amazing Haggadah, an amazing definition, clearly, of how to know what to do. He said, you should put in maximum effort until you reach a place of breaking any halacha or halicha. What's a halacha and halicha? Halacha is halacha, halicha is like, it's not against the halacha, but it's against the derech eretz. It's against the proper way a Jew should act. Okay, so I can do more. I figured I can do more. So I phoned back the principal of the school, and I said, I was very impressed. Oh, the other school, by the way, what was their acceptance letter? It says, we see no reason to reject your child. That was the acceptance letter. Thank you. Thank you very much. That ruled it out for me. So okay, back to the story. So I phoned the back teacher and I said, I would very much like my daughter to come to your school. What can I do that she can come? So she said, well, the only thing you can do is you have to get the guy who's in charge of the buses, like the financial guy, to agree. If he agrees, we're happy with it. But now you have another issue. Because now we already said no to you, so we've already accepted other people. And now the class is full. I said, okay, there's two things I need to do. Number one, is I have to get this guy, his name was Yisrael, to agree. And if he agrees, we're fine. And number two, I have to find a way to knock someone else out of the class. So she said, yes. Now that's already breaking Rav Neventhal's rule. The second one. I said, I'll start with the first one. I'll see what happens. I phone Yisrael. And Yisrael says to me, like, my hands are tied. We have a rush. I said to him, I said, look, I have a good solution. There's a boys bus that goes to the boys' school from the same community. So my daughter can come on the boys' bus. So he said, look, my hands are tied. The Rosh Hashiva has a rule. Boys' bus, girls' bus, separate bus. I said, my daughter is 5 years old. She's a little kid. She's the only one. Like, what's the issue? He said, look, if the Rosh Hashiva agrees, then I'm fine with it. I said, please, I'm begging you. This is my daughter. I want her to come to the school. Ask the Rosh Hashiva. He said, I'll ask. He phoned back. He said, the Rosh Hashiva said it's okay. There's one girl and she's 5 years old. He said, when the school gets bigger and it's like enough, we'll do two separate buses. But for now, one girl, Kita Aleph, it's not a problem. Chaste Hashem. Phoned the head teacher back. I said, the Yisrael agreed. The Rosh Hashiva agreed. She's on the boys' bus. Rav Aaron Friedman's oldest son, he was the oldest boy of the bus at the same time. Every day he would come on first, reserve the front seat. He would show all the boys to go to the back, and then my daughter would come off in the end, sit in the front, the whole year. Fantastic. Back to the story. I phone back the head teacher. I say, Baruch Hashem, we've resolved the buses, but how can we resolve the second question? Like, we need to resolve it. She's like, I can't. Like, the thing's full. I said, has everyone replied to you yes? Has everyone said they can? She said, everyone except for one. Yes, who's the one? So there's one family who are on Shlichut in Chutz Aretz, who phoned us that they're coming back to this neighborhood, and they want that we reserve the place for them to be in the school. I said, are you telling me if they say they don't want to come, then there's no place? Yes. Great. What's their phone number? She gave me the phone number. Mm-hmm. I phoned them up. Now, this is a lot of ishtadlus, right? But nowhere here did I break any halacha, and nowhere here did I break any halicha. I all the time spoke with Derech Eretz, always the respect, sometimes a little bit assertive, but never aggressive. So far, so good. I phoned this family in Chutz Aretz. I say, I hear the opening, where are you going to be living? They said, we're going to be living in the other town, Mavo Choron. I said, I hear they're opening a new girls' school in Mavo Choron. He goes, yeah, we also heard that. Are you looking into it? We are looking. I said, great. I'm the father of a daughter who's thinking of going to Tohar. If your daughter goes to school in Mavo Choron, there's going to be an open place, and I'll be very happy. They said, no, we're almost certainly, if there's a school in the town we're going to be living in, we're almost certainly going to be going there. I said, fine, let me know. They let me know. Yeah, we decided Mavo Choron. I told my teacher, the place is open. She said, oh, fantastic. My daughter went to that school. She's still in that school. When she finished the 8 years, and then she went to the high school, the same school. And I now have three more daughters in that school. Four daughters. That became the default school that all the daughters, not all, most of the kids of Kavya have to go to. Now they have more girls on the girls' bus than they have boys on the boys' bus. Because it's the school that everyone goes to. It broke into that school. Now that was a very clear example of, you keep putting in a stadlus, you keep it hurt, you phone it, you need to phone, you make more phone calls, you do it. That's all normal. Because I didn't break any rules. I didn't break any halacha. What happens when she's in? The moment she's in, what do I say? Thank you, Hashem. Why thank you, Hashem? Excuse me, thank you, me. I made all these phone calls. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, me. I was one of it. No, thank you, Hashem. He was the one. He was the one who put the idea in my mind from Rav Neventhal, like of how to go about it. He was the one who put in my mind to phone like the head teacher. He was the one who inspired the family from Chutz Aretz to go to the school. He was the one who made call all those shots. All I did was just recognize that it's taking place and thank God it's Baruch Hu. So beforehand, maximum ishtadlus. Phone and phone and phone, assertive but not aggressive. Assertive but not aggressive. Don't break any halacha, don't break any halicha. Nothing. If Derech Eretz, you're not breaking anything. You're not stepping on anyone's toes, you're not pushing anyone out, only if it suits them, fine. You did that properly, effectively, healthily. It was successful. Thank you, Kodesh Baruch. And that's the healthy balance. And that's the concept of the spectrum. Yeah. Loud. Can I repeat the question, see if I understand it? You're asking, if I understand correctly, you're asking, when a person puts in more status and more status and more status, then he feels, it's me, and then when it's successful, then it's very hard for him afterwards to look back and say, it wasn't me, it was Hashem. That, whenever you're doing any act of ishtadlus, and it works, along the process, you look to yourself and you say, could that have gone a different way? And at each stage, you always find that it can. At each stage, there could have been someone else. There could have been, they would have said no. Someone could have been sick. At each stage. And then, as long as you're doing that, you're saying, I'm putting effort, but I recognize the hand of Hashem at each stage along the way. I say, yes, it worked. And it's true that it worked because I put in effort. But if Hashem would have said no there, it wouldn't have worked. Hashem could have said to me that the first stage of Yisrael saying no, he would have just said, that's a rule, the school finished. I'm not talking to Rosh Hashiva. But he spoke. Hashem could have said to the teacher, I'm not allowed to give you private phone numbers of other parents at other schools. It's against the rules. She didn't say that. I don't know if it is against the rules. But she gave me the phone number. Why not? Right? So at each stage I saw the Yad Hashem. Yisrael agreed. Thank you Hashem again. Don't wait till the end to say thank you Hashem. At each stage you recognize it didn't have to turn out this way. It must be Hashem that's helping and helping and helping and helping. Then it's easy at the end when you look back and you see really it was the hand of Hashem the whole way along. I just like kind of made space for the Hashkocha to come in. But Hashem is the one who is doing all the work. Okay, so we'll pause there. But take that concept of spectrum. It's relevant here in Ishtadlus versus Bitochon. But it's relevant in many other areas of the spectrum. And you can use that as a tool that you can use for many other times when you have a debate. If you ever find that both sides are true, and you just don't know which side to take, then it's probably very likely that both sides are true, and you just have to know when to hold on to each side, which side, which circumstance, and then you'll be a mushlam. Mushlam, what does mushlam mean? You have the whole thing. You have the whole thing. Because you're not taking sides. You're Muslim. You have every side. You're in control of the whole spectrum. You just know how to use each side of it.